Jesus ends on a very positive note. He has been giving the disciples some very difficult things, and I just think of the difficulties we're going through in our society, and even this past week, the trouble. Right? We think of California, the shooting, the loss of life, and you just wonder when the next group of innocent people will be targeted. And you think of things like that, and it can be disconcerting. Well, Jesus was leading his closest friends into a similar setting. In fact, he has just shared with them that they would face that loss of life, loss of family. And so he leaves them with these very comforting words before he prays for them in John 17. Look there, John 16 message today, inner peace in a world of turmoil. Inner peace in a world of turmoil. Jesus, verse 28, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. His disciples respond, lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you have come from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered each to his own home and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for these words. And even in your timing, having us consider them on a week like this week, where our society has been again accosted, and we've seen images of lives taken so unjustly, so treacherously, and Satan would even tempt us to live in terror. Not just in that situation, but in other situations around us, in our society here in New York City. Lord, we see injustice, we see even those who are wicked praised. We see perhaps at work things like that that would disconcert us. Lord, I thank you for leaving us these words, and I just pray that you would minister them to each of our hearts as you did to those disciples. Lord, I pray that we would leave convinced of these words, that our hearts would be stayed upon you, that you would be our rock, our fortress, that we would live as those who have hope, Lord, that we would live full of faith in you, in your ability, in your power, in your overcoming, victorious promise. Lord, our hearts do mourn with those who mourn and ask that even these families that were affected, many families, that you would comfort them, that you would draw them to yourself. That the loss of life would not be a loss in this sense of you using this in someone else's life. Lord, I pray that people would wake up to false teaching and reject that, and follow your true gospel. Lord, we pray again for this room. We pray all across this nation as your name is proclaimed. Dear Spirit, would you enable those who are proclaiming? Would you fill them with your Spirit, control them? And those who are hearing, Lord, would you manifest your power in speaking to us and enabling our spirits, our conscience, our wills to enact as we leave. Lord, may we not just be hearers, but doers. Lord, may those who are anxious run from that and place their trust in you, we ask. Lord, we ask for your grace now in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, again, verse 33, comforting us. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Inner peace. I think some people are just born with some sense of inner peace. They have this unusually laid back and calm mentality. Cool, calm, and collected. Maybe someone would say they have ice in their veins. At times, that's because they're just plain lazy. Born lazy, and no matter what happens, they just never excited, never want to do anything. According to, this is an NBC News article I saw, one of the laziest individuals, maybe I won't give his last name, even though he lives in England, but Paul, we'll say, was fined £66 for being extremely lazy. This is what he was doing. So lazy that he wouldn't walk his dog. He used his car to drive alongside the dog, spotted by a biker, and they fined him £66, about $100 for this. Right? I don't know if that's you, your personality. With others, there's that in a positive sense. There is this settled confidence in God. Not worrying about the things that are not there today. I remember, you know, I think this guy actually became a church planter, but I remember him passing him on the street, and he had just been in a car accident. And some people, that's very difficult for. It's difficult for all of us, but it was actually comical because everybody was okay, and his car's messed up, sitting on the side of the road, and he took this for sale sign and was holding it up and smiling at everybody driving by and trying to sell his car. And just thought, you know what, there is someone who is not being affected by his circumstances. Very easy to let our circumstances change us, our attitude. But he was using that as a reason to chuckle, to provide a light moment for others. And yet others, I think, on the opposite end of the spectrum can be in the smallest of difficulties. Perhaps it's your first gray hair. Perhaps it's just a rainy day. Perhaps someone didn't go out of their way to shake your hand. And that's enough to just make you anxious, worried, concerned. Really make you tempted in your spirit to be overwhelmed with almost a crippling worry. And some of that is just the way we're made. Right? Some are more tempted to this than others. And yet what God gives us instruction here is that even in the small things or the large things, we can face our circumstances and actually have this inner peace. Because he's talking to his disciples at a time where they will have great turmoil. And he is facing, I would say, the greatest turmoil a human can face. Not only physical exhaustion and suffering, but spiritual, mental, emotional exhaustion. And Jesus is able to face that with this same peace. And so I think you and I can take from this instruction what Christians have for centuries, and they're able to face turmoil and be at inner peace. Paul is a good illustration of this. I won't go into the details, but at the end of Acts, you remember, he's in a great storm, a ship, the ship that is actually carrying him as a prisoner. I think they called the storm Euroclydon. I don't know why, but it was a notorious bad storm coming down, and everything looks bad. Everyone is preparing for death. And yet Paul knows that God is with him in that boat. And God has spoken to him that he's not ready for him to die. And so Paul says, look, we're okay. We're going to be fine. Everybody else is panicking. And Paul gets out the food and says, come on, let's eat. You guys haven't eaten for days in this storm. Let's thank God. He thanks God in the presence of everyone, and he gives out this food for them to eat. What did they think of Paul? The ship is sinking. Everyone's dying. They're exhausted. And Paul's at peace. It's because he had a different mentality, a faith that was set upon Christ. And that is what Christ gives us in these verses. I'm going to look at two questions here from these verses. The question number one is, why listen to Christ's prescription for peace? And question number two is, what is Christ's prescription for peace? Right? I want to get into it. So that would be our second question. As he finishes out this instruction about the Holy Spirit giving us great joy, these three springs of joy, the final one being that joy is this power of promise that Jesus gives. So why would we listen today to this prescription for peace? Why listen to Christ? Perhaps I don't need to say that for many of you, but perhaps you would say, Tim, why do I need to listen to this? Why would Jesus' words written so many years ago be for me today? So let's look at number one, why listen to Christ's prescription for peace in verses 28 through 30. Look at his place. He tells them where he is from and where he is going. Verse 28, I came forth from the Father and I'm going back to the Father. I am leaving the world again and going back to the Father. His place tells us that we should listen to him. Right, this is Christ's repeated confession. This place where he is from and the place where he is going. Therefore, we can listen to him about the directions he gives. I learned pretty quickly in New York City not to trust people when you ask them for directions. I found that a lot of people are very confident about everything. And yet they have no clue about what they're talking about. Do you know where 7223 78th Avenue is? Oh, yeah. You go, 10 blocks this way, take a right, it'll be right on your left. You can't miss it. You go there and you run into the water, right? That has happened so many times. Because people are just so confident. They don't really care. They're just confident. But if you were to come upon a person, you say, well, how do you know that? And they said, I live in that neighborhood. And I was born in this neighborhood. You can be confident. Okay, they know what they're talking about, unless they're completely lying to me. Well, looking at where Jesus has come from and where Jesus is going to, we can truly say, okay, he knows what he's talking about. Okay, I can listen to him. And Jesus has been telling them this all ever since he reveals to them the difficulties that they're going to be coming upon. You can write this down if you're taking notes. John chapter 13 is when this shift came from his public ministry to his private instruction. In John 13 verse 1, Jesus is saying, I'm going out of the world, and yet he continued to love them that were still in the world even to the end. John 13 verse 3, John 14 verse 28, John 16 verse 5, and John 16 verse 16. And again here, Jesus is continually saying, I'm ready to go. Before John 16, you remember his phrase that he kept repeating? The hour is not yet come. The hour is not yet come. Now, in chapter 13 and following, he says, the hour is here. It's imminent. I'm ready to go. And so he's telling us where he is from. And that helps us understand this is someone that you can trust. Jesus has come from God the Father. He's going back to God the Father. There's a lot of people that you can trust, but no one can you trust more than Jesus Christ and his instructions for you about how to find peace. So the disciples, I think, leave with a very helpful conclusion. Look at their confused confession in verses 29 to 23. Disciples said, lo, now you are speaking plainly, right? You're not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we know that you have come from God. We believe that you've come from God. Right? So in the previous verse, Jesus was saying before long, I'm going to tell you clearly, plainly, I'm not going to be using parables. And so they're hearing him say again, I'm leaving back to the Father. And so they're coming and saying, oh, now we understand you're leaving. We understand you, Jesus. They come to the right conclusion saying, we trust you, but they really don't understand him. They really don't understand what he's saying. He really is still speaking in some sense a parable. Because by him saying, him leaving, he is saying he is going to be crucified on a cross for their sins and raised again and go to the Father and come again. So they didn't understand the timing. It would be that night. It'd be within a few short minutes. They didn't understand the manner of his leaving was the crucifixion. They didn't understand the purpose of his leaving fully was that he was going to die for the penalty for their sins. And so Jesus responds in an exclamation in verse 31. Now do you finally believe? Before we get to this, we realize that they did at least come to the right conclusion. Because he is from God and going back to God and he is very God, then I can trust him. Because of where he's from and because where he's going, we can trust him as well. And you can trust him in his instruction today. So because of his place, and then secondly, in verses 31 and 32, because of Jesus, his own peace. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Again, we consider the source here of Jesus. I'm sure you would not prefer if you signed on for fitness classes in the new year to come and meet your fitness coach and realize that this individual is 100 pounds overweight. Not that there's anything, you know, that you have against that person, but you wanted your fitness coach to be in good fitness, right? Say, listen, I don't know if I'm going to listen to you because it doesn't look like it's working for you. So why are you telling me? And so our Lord here, we could go to him because he is in great trial right now. And look at his response. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? And there's no punctuation in the original language. It's a little difficult to understand. Right? Is it a question mark or exclamation point? I think the NIV uses an exclamation point. You finally believe. And the other translations use this question mark. I think maybe we could put both. You finally believe? Right, it's almost an exclamation question. I've been telling you this all along, and yet you don't really believe all that I'm saying because you really don't understand. And then he lets him in on exactly what's going to happen. And what's going to happen is a very difficult thing in Jesus' life. An hour is coming, verse 32, has already come. Those storm clouds that have been in the distance are now dropping big drops of rain upon his head. He looks into their eyes, knowing that in just a few short minutes, those eyes are going to fall asleep while he's praying. And then when Judas comes, they're going to hightail it and run out of there. Jesus knows that. Instead of hiding it from him, he actually tells him. Jesus says, this is my trial. It's going to happen. You're going to leave me all alone. And I'm not alone. The Father is with me. The timing is now. The action is desertion. They will be scattered like leaves in the autumn gust, blown away. It's very difficult to be left alone. A very difficult thing to face, especially to be left alone by those whom you love and care for. Those who you've been with for many years, and for them to leave you all at once. And yet that's what Jesus is facing here. And of course, we know that he is facing also the sin of all humanity being placed upon him, and then the pain of the crucifixion. But here's his good friends, and this is what he's talking about, is voicing his loneliness. Humanly speaking, that's a difficult thing to face, and yet that's the storm that Jesus is going to weather, and he says, I will be at peace. Jesus walked in peace in the garden with Adam and Eve. Jesus, as God the Son, walked in peace in the wilderness with the children of Israel, but also he walked in true shalom through the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? Because of who was with him. Jesus, as the Son of God, slept in the little boat when the sea was rocking it back and forth and the disciples were fearful, what was Jesus doing? Sleeping. Jesus was at peace. And when he woke up, what did he say? Peace, be still. Why? Because of who was with him. And so Jesus's peace is real, even in the turmoil of the crucifixion, because of who was with him. He explains, you think I'm all alone, but I'm not really alone, because the Father's with me. In the greatest trials of our life, when we know that all else have left us, we can be at peace because the Father has not left us. The Father is with us in Jesus Christ. He's able to look at the greatest problem at all and be at peace because he knows the way of peace. In loneliness and at all times is to be with God, the Father. Scattered and gone like autumn leaves blown, Christ's closest friends left him alone. But his peace stays secure, for his Father looks on and abides with his Son forever. So he is definitely able to give us the way to peace because of his place and because of the peace that he has, even in this most difficult time. So what is his prescription for peace? We'll move on to the last verse. It's a triumphing verse. What a beautiful verse. Verse 33. Let me encourage you to memorize this if you struggle with anxiety. What is Christ's prescription for peace in my life? Three facts we should all take to the bank from these verses, and specifically from verse 33. Number one, understand that you live in a world and have trouble. Understand that this world that you live in will bring you trouble. Right? We can't be in denial about that. I think the first part of getting over your anxiety is facing your fear. And Jesus does that for them. He doesn't paint a rosy picture that now that you've come to me, you're never going to have any trouble. He does not give them the health and wealth gospel, as we call it, where come to Jesus and everything's going to be perfect the rest of your life. No, he says, you come to me and you're going to have trouble. In this world, you are going to have trouble. So the word tribulation, I looked up all the references. It often is translated tribulation, like the great tribulation. You are going to have times that you would just describe that this is tribulation. There are other religious systems that try to ignore that there is evil in the world, Eastern religions. Yet we have to believe that there is trouble. We will all face trouble. It is not odd when you have trouble. It is odd when you do not have trouble. If we could get over this denial fact and realize, okay, I'm experiencing this as everyone has ever lived has experienced trouble. Everyone in the Bible experienced trouble. God's own Son experienced the greatest amount of trouble that we could ever face. And so when we experience trouble at work, we experience trouble, resistance from our family, resistance from the world, resistance from the system around us, we could say, I am expecting it. I'm not surprised. Jesus told me this. And if someone has told you to become a Christian so that you would never have trouble, they've sold you a bill of goods. Jesus said, he said that's a lie. He said, you take up your cross and you follow me. And if you haven't taken up your cross, then you're not following me and you have not counted the cost of being a true follower. So understand that we will have trouble in the world. And he goes quickly on to the positive thoughts. Understand that we have trouble in the world, but understand that you live in the world, yes, but you live in Christ. And in Christ you have peace. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you have peace, he begins the verse. That is the key. We are not just in the world, we are in Christ. We are not just in the world where we have tribulation, we are in Christ who is with the Father. So you and I are in Christ and we too are with the Father. We have a company who has gone through this tribulation. Right? So again, our peace does not come from the circumstances. Our peace does not come from the lack of storms. Our peace comes from Christ, who can sleep with us in the boat. Christ, who can walk through that fire with us like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who can walk through that wilderness and our sandals will not wear out because he is with us. And so we have that great peace, that internal peace, because of the final fact that the one who is with us, whom we are in, has done what? Conquered the world. He has conquered the world. He draws that world idea that gives you tribulation. Not just the concept of those who are against Christ, but living in this world, you have that trouble. And he says, listen to me. Take courage. I've overcome it. He's conquered it. We serve a victorious king. He is victor. It's the word from the word Nike. Right? This is where Nike got their brand. Right? That there is this victory. Well, Christ is the greatest victor. We serve a victorious king. And when you recognize, when you appropriate that fact that Christ has conquered everything, there is no foe left. Even before the crucifixion, he's able to say that. Because outside of time and eternity, he is the victorious king that reigns over all periods and all times. We are on the winning side, and so therefore we can rest in peace. He's my victor. He's conquered it. Don't fear it. If it takes your life, who cares? Then you have the greatest amount of joy ever experienced on earth. And so we follow our hero. It's so interesting that inside of us there seems to be this desire for a hero, a desire to follow a triumphant, victorious person. Well, he is our hero, our victor. We follow no one else but Christ. He has won the battle over all. He is your hero. And so God tells us, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed in thee because he trusts in thee, right? Isaiah 26 verses 3 and 4. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Steady, firm. In the world, you're going to have that trouble up and down, ebbs and flows. But Christ is your secure foundation. He's your rock. And he is the one that has overcome the world. He is the object of your faith. It's not just that you have faith. It's that the object of your faith is Christ, an unchanging, victorious king. You can leave the international scene in his hand. You can't change it. We live in an unsteady time. You can't change that. But you know what? You don't have to be in trouble. You don't need to be troubled. You can leave that at Christ. He's victorious. No plan against his will prosper, Christ says. You can leave the threat of invasion, of terrorism, any wicked thing anyone would plot against you, even those at work who seem so cunning, or wherever the trouble is coming from. And you can say, Christ is victorious even over that. I'm not saying you lay down and let everyone, you know, steal all your stuff. And we're wise, but we're not anxious. Because Christ is victorious. He is in control. He is a king. And if you have a king who is sovereign and all powerful, then you have peace in your heart. Because you know what you're facing comes through his hand. I love the bravado of Martin Luther in his hymn, "A mighty fortress is our God, a mighty rock. Though the world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us." You give this whole world and fill it with devils, fill it with turmoil, not just one devil, fill it with all the devils. And that is our spirit, not in me, but because God has willed that his truth would triumph through us. He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Isaac Watts hymn is helpful. O God, our help in ages past, our help for years to come in the future, our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, still may we dwell secure today. Right? Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. So this is the contagious, courageous peace of Christ's victory over the world. Jesus, the application of this verse is take courage. Take courage. Be courageous. Take courage today that Christ has overcome the world. You need not fear. Wesley said a similar thing in one of his poems. He said, I rest beneath the Almighty's shade. My griefs expire, my troubles cease. Thou, Lord, on whom my soul is stayed, wilt keep me still in perfect peace. But he didn't always experience that. You remember that he came close to death on another boat, and he saw this other group of those who had found their settled faith in Jesus as their Savior in perfect peace. And he didn't have that. He was trying to earn his way to God, earn his salvation. In fact, he was there as a missionary to that wicked place called America, way back when, before the gospel had come here hardly at all. And he had no peace in his soul when faced with death. He had only fear. But they shared with him the inner peace that he could have. And not too long after that, he did find his rest and his peace in Christ. And he was able to say, Thou, Lord, on whom my soul is stayed, will keep me still in perfect peace. Christ is the victory that overcomes the world. Do you have faith in him? And let me just encourage you in closing here. The application is to trust in Christ. Right? If you are anxious about all around you, then you are not trusting in Christ. There is a proper concern that we need to have. That the Bible actually uses the same word, right, in positive cases, but that's usually about others whom you're responsible for. There should be a proper concern. But if you are continually fretting, that's anxiety, and you need to be resting in Christ's kingship today. And if you believe that he is victorious, then you can have true peace. Can you trust in him? Can you cast all your anxiety and care upon the Son of God today? If so, then you know that the fruit of his Spirit is peace. It's love, joy, and peace. True shalom, true rest. Just an easiness that knows that no matter what I do, I'm indestructible until it's God's timing. I'm indestructible. Right? And we can gaze on that glory of God, knowing that he's king, and we can be at rest. Even in the greatest of difficulties, the greatest of life's trials. And that is what our Lord commands us in his closing words to his disciples. Let's pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if this is very foreign for you. If you've never, ever, ever felt that inner peace, then perhaps it's because God's Spirit has never given you, he's never birthed you into God's kingdom to where you have his Spirit living in you, giving you the fruit of peace. Then you need to lay down your arms. And if I could, with your eyes closed and heads bowed, just minister this appeal to you that the Bible says you are born at war with God, alienated from him. And that you need to make peace with him. You need to reconcile with him through Jesus. Jesus has come to pay the penalty that you deserve. And that is the beginning of lasting peace, comes from having peace with God. If you know you're at peace with God, then you know he is with you and he is enabling all things in your life for your good and for his glory. But if you don't have that father-son relationship with him, then it's very easy to doubt him. And so in closing here, I'd like to just encourage you to come to Christ as the Prince of Peace and bow your knee and say, Lord Jesus, I confess you as my King. I believe that you died for my sins. I give you my life. I bow before you. You are real. I believe that you hear me now. Please save me from the penalty for my sin that I deserve. And give me lasting, forever peace. Would you pray that in the quietness of this moment? And if I could apply to the believers here who have trusted in Jesus as Savior, that perhaps this week has been one of anxiety for you. Right? The Bible does call that a sin, if it's not this healthy concern for others. But if you're ruminating about all that could be, the Bible does call that a sin. And I would encourage you to leave that at the cross. Confess it as sin now and say, Lord, forgive me for being anxious when you have overcome the world. And even if I were to be left destitute with nothing, I would still be able to trust in you that you have given me an eternity in with all my needs provided. If someone was to take my life, that would be one of the best things that will happen to my existence. Right, so if you would just acknowledge him as in control and victorious conquering King in your life, I think that would really, really, and you would leave here enjoying his peace. Would you confess anxiety as sin to him and say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge you that these words are true. You've spoken to them to me today. In the world, I do have trouble right now, but I believe by faith that you have overcome the world. And I ask for that abiding sense of calm and faith in you. Would you do business with the Lord now and ask him for that? In a moment, Pastor Andrew will close in prayer. But let's all talk to the Lord about this. We all struggle with this in different areas of our life. Let's repent and come to him and receive his lasting peace that comes from knowing he is our victor. Let's pray.